Hello everyone and welcome back to another week here at the Damage Report. Not just any day though, it is Monday, traditionally the most fantastic of days. Thanks to Francesca Fiorentini, host of the Bituation Room. Francesca, how's it going?
What's up? I'm tired, not gonna lie. Sleepy.
Yeah. Very. Why would you be tired on a Monday?
You know, it's been a long Sunday. Some people, it's the Lord's day of rest. For me, it's a hose day of work. You know what I'm saying? I am just slanging all the news and jokes for the Frantifa over on the Bituation Room. But it's fun and it's good and everyone should listen because we had an amazing Native activist named Clayton Thomas Mueller on, and he's so inspiring and is doing incredible work because the tar sands, y'all, it's not over. We haven't canceled the tar sands yet, and therefore it's going to cancel planet Earth. So we have to still get on that, even though the Keystone XL was successfully canceled.
Yeah. I mean, who would have imagined that like extracting and burning stuff from the tar sands would be bad? It's weird. Anyway,
or just transporting it all over the country in North
like
America.
And like sometimes spilling it all over the place.
Oopsies.
Anyway. Whoops. Nobody could have predicted that except all of our engineers. Anyway. Glad to have you here to talk about news at least as depressing as that. I'm kidding. We've got some stuff I think that's gonna be pretty fun. We kept one story on the rundown specifically for Francesca. That is the latest in our long running series of sandwich news. So we've got some important news that has to do with bread and that which lies between slices of it. So we've got that for you. And then, you know, arguably more serious stuff like we've got a guaranteed income experiment. We've got the future of the IRS. Will it have one? COVID misinformation, a massive strike in Topeka, the Olympics. What's happening? What's not? Will there be athletics? Will some of them be in beds? We're gonna delve into so much of the news. But before we jump into the news, I just wanted to mention two quick things that made me sad to start off the Monday. One, I read a review of the first six episodes of that show Sexy Beasts that we talked about. You remember that from a few months ago? And the review was, hold on to your butts, negative. They didn't like the show. And so now, great, I don't have that to look forward to. It's not even gonna be cool. So that's fun. And the other is what?
Is it based off the movie Sexy Beast?
I don't know what that is, but no, definitely
it's
not.
Amazing.
It's a dating show where people are dressed up in like animal costumes or made to look like a zombie or something like that. And it turned out, no, that wasn't actually the next thing in dating. The other is, it's like dwelling in my soul. I tweeted about it. Don't you miss book fairs? I miss book fairs, man. The most exciting thing was to go and just buy books.
Where do you live? Are you living in like where Belle and Beauty and the Beast lives in like, I don't know, 40s?
Are you saying
Italy?
France?
Like
I think that was France.
Or France. I'm like, yeah, France. That makes sense. Yeah. Belle, bonjour. I got it. It's France.
There's a lot of French Lumiere. Dude,
there's a lot of French hints, Francesca. Anyway. What are you?
Yeah, wait, did you not have book fairs in school?
Oh, school book fairs. You mean where you present something like I read a book and it was
not
about
a book
tree.
Report, a book fair.
I mean, I just know
you buy books.
Really dope cities have like amazing big book fairs, but I've never been to one either.
I want to go to one.
I haven't been to one.
Of course, it's a bad year for it. I just miss books. Miss books, man. Anyway, so that's what's making me sad. So I just want you to understand that that's the subtext for why I'm gonna be sad and potentially salty as we discuss the news. But that said, Francesca, thank you for being here. You are the anti-sad and the anti-salt, and I look forward to getting a bit of that as we go forward. And as we do that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be a delight. If you wanna send us messages, we will respond. Questions, concerns, super chats, anything like that, we will talk about it. That said, Francesca, are you ready to jump into some news?
Yes, John.
Okay, in that case, let's do it. Fox and Friends, ooh, their record on COVID and misinformation has not been great, but they're getting some positive headlines this morning after Steve Doocy implied that people should get vaccinated, which sounds good, but unfortunately that conversation also gave rise to this little ironic take from Brian Kilmeade.
99% of the people who are dying from COVID are unvaccinated.
That's so their choice.
They don't want to die. So they are, the administration and the government is saying, we need the mask mandate to protect the unvaccinated.
That's not their job. It's not their job to protect anybody. Well,
so Francesca, I'm sure that you, as a person who has spent literally decades fighting against the American war machine and our bloated defense budget, like the idea that it's kind of like out of the purview of our government to protect people.
Oh, this entire exchange was nuts. I mean, I have to say, Brian Kilmeade, to his credit, is at least being consistent with some of the death wish propaganda that the Fox News network has been pushing on its viewers. They don't care about people living or dying. And they truly and sincerely believe it is not the news's job to inform people on how to prevent their own death, not even believe in the cause of their own death, really. In fact, do everything possible to make sure that they foment distrust and mistrust in the government, trying to protect them at all from this very, very real virus. But I guess I have to say, like earlier in that clip, Kilmeade's also like, I'm vaccinated, you're vaccinated, we're all vaccinated. Yeah. And I don't know if that was a first, but I had never heard any Fox News anchors say openly that they were vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. My gut says that Fox and Friends has. I believe that they have talked about it. I think that they have acknowledged that Trump is vaccinated. Now, that said, they have still been really bad and in a grifty way about misinformation, trying to have their vaccine and eat it too.
Yes.
By eating, I mean, more people die, which is still better than others on Fox News who are not playing it both ways. They're playing it one way. They're maybe covering their ass a tiny bit in the way they attack the vaccine, but they have been, as we talked about last week, they have done a couple hundred segments on vaccines or touching on vaccines in the past 2 weeks, and they have downplayed or undermined vaccination efforts in more than 60% of all of those segments. That's not acceptable. It's just not. This looks better by comparison because, I mean, even in that segment, you had Ducey saying, look, the people who are dying are not vaccinated. Thus, maybe you should get vaccinated, but then Brian Kilmeade immediately says that's their right. I understand.
But to be fair, to Kilmeade, he's being consistent. This was the line that they had under Trump. And now that Biden is in office, most right winger blowhards are like, oh, well, why aren't you taking care of us? And he is trying to take, you know, Trump. I mean, Biden is taking the virus seriously. So I kind of am like, yeah, Brian, you're a crass POS who doesn't care about human life, but at least you're not politicizing it. You clearly still believe it's not on the government to help people and that they should, you know, do what they want and not get vaccinated or get vaccinated. Problem is, he doesn't actually understand virus science in the fact that it's not like the way right wingers are like, you can be gay over there and I'll be gay, you know, I'll be straight over here and we won't touch each other. In this case, you know, which by the way, man, if Gaydom actually goes aerosol, woo, it's gonna be a great world. But also, the right wingers are gonna go nuts. But I will say that, like, you know, in this case, if you don't get vaccinated, you are impacting other people. You know, you are part of a society, you know, and your personal responsibility is other people's responsibility.
Yeah, and look, Brian Kilmeade tried to do a really bad metaphor where he was like, no, all of this is your right. You can risk yourself. And the example he gave was if you want to go, I think he said base jumping or something like that. He's like, that sounds dangerous to me, but if you want to, you can. But again, base jumping isn't contagious. It's not like if you come near me 3 days later, why am I falling all of a sudden? That's not how it works. You have to make the individual choice. With a virus, you don't get that choice. And the fact that a grown man doesn't understand the difference between those two things this late is difficult to believe. And thus one has to believe that he does understand it, that he's trying to not get attacked. And that's where we turn to our next bit because headline on Raw Stories, Fox News viewers tear into Steve Ducey after he begs them to get vaccinated. And bear in mind, I'm not gonna jump into the individuals because what does it mean? What it means is a lot of randos were attacking him, and it's up to you whether you think it matters that a bunch of randos said something or whatever. But it was pretty predictable that Steve Ducey just pointing out like a literal fact that generally about 99% of those who are dying now are unvaccinated. That's just, I guess that's an inconvenient truth. I thought you guys were the facts don't care about your feelings people, but it seems like you're having a lot of feelings about his facts. It seems like you're a little bit mad about it for some reason. He's pointing out that you might die following the philosophy that you have. And so, to some extent, I can understand pragmatically why Brian Kilmeade is trying to cover his ass. He doesn't want to be attacked in that way.
No, exactly. And like I said, he's being consistent. I mean, the real question that he's pointing to and that you pointed to in the beginning of this is, does the government have a responsibility to take care of its people? And I think most people, even right wingers, would agree the answer is yes, right? And especially if it comes to an act of terrorism or war or, you know, a flood. I mean, geez, right? Like climate chaos, that the government and local authorities have a role to play, that they're gonna try and put out a fire that is burning and is gonna threaten your home somehow. And it is because this virus happened under Trump. We've lifted COVID-19 out of that responsibility that the government has and placed it in some separate little corner. And it's like, nope, it's all on you.
Well, you know, the thing is, I would almost understand why we would have lifted that out and treated it like, for instance, why do we allow so many people to die of any number of different chronic illnesses? And as a society, we largely just turn our head and don't care about the fact that it's so common that so many people are, you know, overdosing on opioids or dying of heart disease or God knows what. Like, we don't care. We don't care if they have insurance. So you might be inclined to say, well, this is just America. It's a sickness thing. We don't care about public health. And we consider those to be different things than, for instance, we made the comparison of the military. I doubt Brian Kilmeade, if like Canada invaded, be like, well, you know, if you stay there, that was your decision. You shouldn't have stood where that tank was gonna be. But then like I would say hypothetically, well, what if Canada released a biological weapon? Okay, that makes it a little bit closer to what we have here. And the thing is, that's what they believe this is. Right. They think China released this. So you don't get to separate it and say that it's just a public health thing. If there should be some sort of dark lining of your insane conspiracy theory in that, if you believe that this is a Chinese pathogen that they released to kill us, well then why aren't you treating it like a national security threat, which you seem to think it is, and yet you still don't care. So China's allowed to, and by the way, I don't believe literally any of this, but by your logic, China's allowed to kill hundreds of thousands of people with a biological weapon in a way that you would never allow if it was them using assault rifles? Again, none of that's true, but that's what they believe. They just don't take the next step to actually care about it.
Yeah, no, they want a full-fledged war, but we would still have resistance to a mask mandate if it was agreed upon that China deliberately released the COVID-19, right? Like it would still be like, nuh-uh, I get to shop without a mask on and no, you're a Nazi, but also let's go to war directly. And no, nothing would be solved. We would just have what we have now plus a war. Yeah. Yay.
Right. Okay, well, we might get that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about this misinformation. As we gear up for what's looking like it's going to be another wave, we'll see, hopefully not, but the numbers have been going up recently. There's been a renewed focus on the misinformation that's being spread. You've probably heard quite a bit, even from the Biden administration, criticizing Facebook for allowing misinformation to be spread. Then the right attacked the Biden administration, seemingly coming to the defense of Facebook, even though they believe that big tech's the big issue. Anyway, in this case, they were more mad at the misinformation of Biden, because remember, if Fauci said something that was wrong about masks 16 months ago, then nothing else that has ever been said matters. They can just turn to that and say, thus it's all equal. So, but what about Fox News? Because as we've been telling you, their vaccine attacks against the vaccination have not gone away, even as more and more people are getting sick. Recently, Tucker Carlson had a guest on who said that the vaccines are declining in effectiveness very quickly. which is very, very not true. That's the Alex Berenson guy that like once wrote for the New York Times. And even though the right says the New York Times is fake, they bring this guy on and continually talk about how he used to work there as if that's supposed to be some sort of credit for him. But anyway, Tucker Carlson brought him on to say that. And he will be brought on again in the future. Now, Tucker Carlson will never say the vaccine will kill you, don't take it, because that might land him in a courtroom, but he will bring on endless guests who will say, there's questions, concerns, is it effective? I don't know. Why is nobody answering our questions? And that is how you result in many of these people not trusting the vaccine. And I want to give you another example of it because it's not just Tucker Carlson. Here's a back and forth between Matt Bennett and Charlie Hurt about why people don't trust the vaccine.
What is happening, the people who are dying, the people who are filling up our hospitals are unvaccinated, and many of them are there because people like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida and other all Republican politicians are telling them that the vaccines might not be safe, that they shouldn't listen to public health experts like Dr. Fauci. They're selling t-shirts on DeSantis's website attacking Dr. Fauci. That is the problem. That is how misinformation gets spread, and it's very, very dangerous.
Charlie?
No, misinformation.
Go ahead.
No, misinformation comes when people like you try to politicize a disease that is 99.999% survivable. That's the problem here. And when politicians and people who work for politicians choose to take something like a pandemic and turn it into a political cudgel in order to get more power, that's how people wind up being misinformed. And that's how people wind up being very, very skeptical about this, about what you say is a very, you know, is the solution to all of this. If you believe this is the solution to all of this, then allow open, free, fair debate and let people get their answer, their questions answered. That's the great, that is the way to health for everyone.
Okay. So it's super survivable, you know, aside for the 600,000 plus Americans that died from it. We'll ignore that and we'll pretend that it's super survivable. But yeah, so Francesca, it's the left has been politicizing it. You know, the fact that a Republican governor made shirts attacking Dr. Fauci, that is not politicizing it, notably. And people's suspicion, their questions, it's all, has nothing to do with anything except that the Biden administration has been politicizing it. That is what, again, a guest is being brought on to say. Not the host, Fox doesn't want to get sued or whatever, but they will continually bring on guests to say that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's devastating to watch people parrot these lines continually, and still when we have the Delta variant that is far more contagious and potentially even more deadly, and we don't know that, but it might be more deadly. We know it spreads faster than regular COVID. But of course, you know, like this guy has clearly been vaccinated, but he knows that the line he's got to parrot is we must foment misinformation and distrust in the current government, in the vaccine rollout, even though Trump was the one who says that he should get credit for it. Why not just give Trump credit for the vaccine and say Biden only enacted what Trump, you know, what Trump put into place, which is not true. But hey, why not that be your line if you're still scared or you're still trying to appeal to the, you know, anti-science MAGA hordes, right? We know who politicized this from jump. It was Trump. It was the guy who insisted on doing in-person rallies, who killed his own staffers. Herman Cain died, right? Like, who killed people who were supporting him, who were putting their lives on the line to work for him and his reelection. Mm-hmm. And guess what? It cost him reelection. So, I mean, I'm one of the people who firmly believes that had Trump handled COVID-19 minimally better, I'm saying 15% better than he did, he might still be president right now. And that's incredibly horrifying to reckon with.
I 100% agree. The reason I wanted to play that video was this is Charlie Hurt. I understand that most people probably don't interpret what he said as squirrely and cowardly and stuff like that, but I can't help but see it as that. When you, they have found this way, they know that they have developed a reputation as being anti-science, anti-education, prone to conspiracy theories, incurious, all of that. And so both on right-wing media and in conspiracy theory circles, they have sort of taken up as their armor, we do research, we have questions. The research never uncovers any facts, and they never ask the questions,
right?
But they like the wording of it. And so I have a challenge for Charlie Herr, and more importantly for Fox News. I would like to ask you, how many months will you just keep saying that you have questions before you finally ask the questions? And more importantly than just asking the questions, if you're Tucker Carlson, you just, wait, why are you attacking us for asking questions every night? You're a grown man with a full staff on a multi-billion dollar media network. You could have anyone come on. You could have Rochelle Zelensky, who's the head of the CDC.
Yeah.
You could have the head of the CDC on. You could have the heads of the companies that develop the vaccines. You could have the individual lab techs that produce the vaccines. You could have any number of representatives from the Biden administration. You could have Dr. Fauci on. You could have anyone that you want. You could ask any question that you want. It is odd, and I think noteworthy, that you have spent more than half a year that the vaccine has been in circulation without ever articulating any questions. And so the challenge is not for them, they're grifters, they're lying to you. But if you are a right winger, perhaps you watch one of these shows, you know someone who does, ask them when they will finally expect questions to be answered. Not by MSNBC or CNN, they're never gonna trust that. But Fox exists for them, it's producing content for them. Why aren't they asking questions? Why aren't they producing anything or even appearing to want to? After all of this time, it is so cowardly to continually say, we just have, why are you attacking us for our questions when you refuse to articulate what they actually are?
Yes, have Rochelle, and you know what? If you can't stand being part of the press pool, just have Rochelle Walensky on your show. She'll go on, she'll explain, fire all of your, you know, partisan BS at her, all of your misinformation, ask the questions. Just straight up ask her anything you wanna ask her. Ask about masks, ask about the variant, ask about, you know, the vaccines, ask about side effects, ask all the, it's not bad to ask questions. I think it's good. We do need to normalize that. We shouldn't, you know, just keep moving. No, we're learning about this virus every single day. So yeah, experts should be asked questions. Fox News doesn't have questions. They've got platitudes.
They do. They have a mission. We have a little bit, I apologize, we have a little bit more on this. I love to point out that I'm an idiot, and sometimes I give people credit that they don't deserve. And unfortunately, we have to turn to that now, because I have been tripping over myself this year to give credit to any vile Republican that encourages people to get vaccinated. I've done it occasionally with people on Fox News. I've done it with Mitch McConnell, even recently. Hey, he said again, he doesn't know why people aren't getting vaccinated, which is a stupid thing to say because you know why they're not, but he is implying that they should. But nowhere have I tried harder to give credit than to Donald Trump for encouraging people occasionally a little bit to get vaccinated. But unfortunately now, and just when we need people to get vaccinated the most before the Delta variant starts to spread even more, it looks like Trump is starting to dip his toes in the water of turning against the vaccine for his own purposes. I apologize in advance, but you're gonna have to hear some words from Donald Trump. Here is the statement he put out. Joe Biden kept talking about how good of a job he's doing on the distribution of the vaccine that was developed by Operation Warp Speed, or quite simply, the Trump administration. He's not doing well at all. He's way behind schedule, and people are refusing to take the vaccine because they don't trust his administration. They don't trust the election results, and they certainly don't trust the fake news, which is refusing to tell the truth. That's why people don't want to take the vaccine, because they don't trust that it's because Biden stole the election. It should be Trump. Biden stole it, so people aren't taking the vaccine. Donald Trump is the worst. But that said, previously he's told people, and we can criticize the reason. The reason he wants them to take the vaccine is because he wants credit for it. But we were willing to use that to turn into a tool his desire for credit. But he's found something potentially that might be more valuable. The right has diverged from Trump on very few things over the past few years, but one thing that perhaps the biggest was on the vaccine. And I was wondering which is gonna win in the end. And I think this is giving us the early sign of the answer. I think that he lost in his attempt to get credit and get them to accept the vaccine. And I think he is now going to chase those people. Because think about it, like Ron DeSantis was more anti-vax than Trump, and he sees how popular Ron DeSantis is. Tucker Carlson, crazy anti-vax, and he's becoming more popular. People talk about him running in 2024. And Trump may be getting a little bit nervous. And suddenly he's attacking people, saying it's totally understandable if you don't trust it. I mean, look at CNN. Why would you trust the vaccine with CNN existing?
It's terrifying. I mean, I have to think there are, I know I hate to be this person who's like, there are some good conservatives, even though we completely disagree about 9 out of 10 things. But like, I do know that there are some conservatives who are like, shut up about losing the election, you know? And there are conservatives who are like, shut up about not getting vaccinated. I want to see my grandchildren, you know, I want to see my family. And that turned them off. It's just that the subsection of the most shrill and frightening and violent elements are in that Venn diagram of anti-vax, you know, like anti-election results, and whatever, like, and Fox News lovers, you know. So it is deeply scary, and you wonder, because you look, if this if the virus continues, which it will for years, which it will, and it is, what's it gonna take for the right to change their tune? If you have dug yourself a hole so deep on anti-vax, on, you know, COVID being overblown, what would it take? Is it your wife dying? Is it your husband dying? Is it your child dying? Is it you dying? And the answer is, I don't think anything. I don't think once you've dug your political, you've staked your political claim on anti-science, nothing is gonna change your mind. And that's terrifying.
Yeah, 100%. And they know it'll happen if they do. They will be pilloried. Anyway, we do have to take a first break though. So we're gonna go for a couple of minutes. But when we come back, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Greene came to California for a rally. We're gonna check in and see how that went. But first this. Okay, with that, let's mix it up and turn to some very different news. Matt Gaetz, still not yet in prison, but hold, and Marjorie Greene are having their America First rallies, traveling around the country and gathering huge amounts of MAGA people, sometimes a couple hundred even. Now, they came to California, Riverside. They wanted to have this freedom of speech, peaceful protest event. But three different venues actually declined to let them do it at their place. There was the Pacific Hills Banquet and Event Center in Laguna Hills. Initially was slated to host the event, but canceled the week before when they realized who the speakers were, saying they, quote, just want to stay clear of that. That whole thing. The Riverside Convention Center was then tapped to host, but canceled 24 hours before the event after receiving backlash from the community. Finally, the Anaheim Event Center in Orange County canceled its last minute plan to host the tour stop over general security concerns, with a spokesperson for the city saying the city had several other events already going on. Those require public safety attention and resources. This event layered on top of that would have strained resources. So they weren't able to do their actual thing. So instead they went to the beach, I guess, and there was like maybe 200 people that gathered to see these two superstar Congress people. And we'll give you a little bit from what they said, but what do you think about the fact that three different venues canceled on them?
I mean, I think they should slap a parental advisory on their album and just, you know, be like, yeah, we're the NWA of MAGA. Hell yeah, this is cool. Like, obviously they're just gonna use it to say that they were canceled, but it's just really funny because Riverside and Anaheim, there are more Republicans down there. Like, it's, you know, you would imagine that there wouldn't necessarily be community outcry. But then you have a pretty much a, you know, not admitted, but like open anti-Semite. I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene at this point of comparing everything to the Holocaust, let's put her in the anti and Jewish space lasers, anti-Semite category. And then a dude that, you know, pays 17-year-olds to have sex with him. So I'm gonna say that's not gonna be good for even a conservative community like Riverside. Yeah. So good on them. And I just think it's really funny that you're like, see, we had this like 4-year-old birthday party that we had to run security on. So we can't have like other 4-year-olds gathering and, you know, clanking their sabers together.
Yeah. And look, you're right. They are gonna use this. They're gonna complain about it. Although it rings a bit hollow. It's like the book that someone wrote, and Dave Rubin said that he wrote it, the thing, please don't burn this book or whatever, when like he was so desperate for someone to burn the book. Please burn the book, please. You want this, and they want this, and so they're gonna respond. And I'll give you the response in a second. I just wanna say, they are, like I called them superstars. On the right, they are. It doesn't mean that they're smart or they'll do anything to help out the right or anything, but they like them anyway. And this is what they like. This is what they get. So Marjorie Greene responds to all of this saying, over the past week, I've seen the communist left in California use threats of violence, intimidation, and harassment to bully business owners into submission, forcing them to cancel peaceful gatherings of Americans. So yes, the Pacific Hills Banquet and Events Center, clearly run by commies. It's Riverside, man. It's not the communist left. Some businesses didn't want to have your event there. Look, it looked like one, they referenced public outcry or whatever, but the other two, they just didn't want to do your event. That doesn't make them communists. It's literally a private business.
Yeah, it's a private business. I'm pretty sure it was more communist to go to the publicly owned beach. Yes. Mao Tse, Marjorie, okay? That is exactly what it was. That's very communist.
Now, just referring to literally anything you don't like as communist is boring enough. But Matt Gaetz says, the woke-topians are this scared of a dose of America First in California. Rally still happening today. Oh, the woke-topians. So you came up with a term, and in your term, you're implying that these are kind of like people that have something to do with a utopia, but you're trying to say that they're bad. Just in terms of your like, suffixes, that's just not good. Come up with something better. Yeah. But anyway, and then so they did have the rally. So like 100 to 200 people showed up. Is it possible that more people would have shown up if it were indoors? Sure. But it doesn't sound like 100,000 people were waiting for a dose of America First. It sounds like, you know, a relatively reasonable small gathering, which you still had, and on terms that you will use for more fundraising than you would have ever used an event if just nobody had protested at all.
Arguably, I mean, given some of the conservative bent in California, which is I don't want to be indoors with a bunch of other MAGA. Like I like MAGA, I am MAGA, but I also believe in the virus and that it's real. They might have had more people than they would have had they been indoors. Because being outside is safer. Yeah. But I want to know, I'm very curious. How big are the rallies that they were filling out before, right? Like if they were in Texas or, you know, other, you know, in the South, like what was the average crowd size? How, because you say they're the rising star. I don't know. They are the loudest and the most extreme and the craziest and have all been, they're basically, has Matt Gaetz been stripped of all of his committee positions as well? He's about to be, but like they're the least relevant politically and the most relevant in propaganda terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there was another little happening there that we have to turn to. At the impromptu beach, Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Greene party event, protest, whatever. There was a guy that got a little bit too excited about meeting the two congresspeople, and this is how it went.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I mean, this, oh, everyone thinks you're crazy. I don't think you're crazy. People think you're a pedophile. I don't think you're a pedophile at all. I don't think he's a pedophile at all. Your charges against him are totally false. They're totally false. Oh my God.
Okay, so there's a chance that guy wasn't an authentic fan of either of them, I suppose. Francesca, what did you think?
I love him and I love, you know, look, good on Matt Gaetz and his security detail for hearing irony. You know, we all think that right wingers can't understand irony, but you know, they proved it right there. You know, like he wasn't saying pretty much anything different. I don't think you're a pedophile. All the charges are false. That's exactly what Matt Gaetz has been saying. Maybe he didn't say the word pedophile, maybe he said sex offender, but I love this dude, clearly lives by the beach, had his like 4th of July, like American flag outfit and was like, you know what? There they are, I'm doing this. I feel like this was impromptu. Yeah. This was like God's work, straight up God's work. Yeah. I don't think it was actually.
Apparently, no? It's a guy who does this. But okay. And I'm gonna be a bit of a downer. Other than a little bit of Schadenfreude, because they're both terrible people, I don't generally love stuff like this. People like interrupting, yelling out, stuff like that, because it's too easy. But that said, it was funny.
Oh, come on. Your respectability politics, bro. That's so.
I don't want a Bernie rally, you being stopped by like a bunch of people who won't stop yelling. Like, it's just too easy, it's too cheap. But that said, what I liked about his and what I think raised the level of the parody was that the only reason he had to go, or they had to go from him, was because he was verbalizing it. But everything that he was saying was what they desperately want all of their followers to embody. They want someone who will show up decked head to toe in an American flag, who's super excited and doesn't think that she's crazy, even though she clearly is, and doesn't mind that he's been accused of raping kids as he has. They're supposed to be all of those things, but we would prefer if you would not say it explicitly, which I did appreciate that.
Yes, absolutely. And don't get too excited defending a sex offender predator from their misconduct. Like do it, but earnestly, not like happily. You know what I mean? There's like a line there. No, but I will say, I live for that moment. I watched that clip like 12 times. The moment that Matt Gaetz realizes this guy is full of it, like all of the joy leaves his face. Mm-hmm. And watching all of the joy leave Matt Gaetz's face is my joy. Like that is, so here he is, thumbs up. And now he's hearing what's being said and he looks right at him.
Can I ask you a quick question? Beow. Now that I'm seeing them on screen, really fast. What do you think they think of each other? What does Matt Gaetz honestly think when he looks at Marjorie Greene and vice versa?
I think that Matt Gaetz is actually knows he's lying through his teeth and through his stupid little face. And actually he used to be far more liberal before Trump came into office. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is a true believer. She is a straight up true QAnon mom. And like, I think Matt Gaetz does think she's crazy. And I think she thinks Matt Gaetz is a pedophile. So they both are like, no, she's crazy, he's a pedophile, but we need to work together to stay relevant. We're making a jail pact. If you go, I go. If you jump, I jump.
I just, her whole thing was Q. That's how she became initially famous in the right. And of all of the congresspeople she could go on tour with, she chose the one guy, a political elite who's trafficking kids. Okay, yeah, I do agree though. They'll turn on each other. Oh, and I can't wait. It's gonna be good once they finally turn on each other. Anyway, okay, so we unfortunately are burning through this hour. So we have to take our second break. When we come back, we're gonna touch base with the Olympics, which are still going forward. We're gonna see what's going there. And then this strike of Frito-Lay workers, we're gonna give you all the details on that after this. Before we jump back into the news, I did want to let you know about some of what's going on later today. So we will be recording a top 10 list that will be available to you. But right after the show, don't go anywhere because Indisputable is coming up with Dr. Rashad Ritchie. Kenya Evelyn is going to be the co-host today and Kurt Schlichter will come on for a debate. All that's coming up right after the Damage Report at youtube.com/IndisputableTYT. And I also wanted to remind you, usually once, maybe twice a year, we remind you about a TYT membership. So here I'm not talking about Twitch, I'm not talking about YouTube, I'm talking about the actual network membership. That is what effectively allows us to be sustained, especially through tough times like, you know, we've had over the past year or so, and continue to fight for positive change in all the ways that we try to do that. If you'd like to either continue to be a part of that, if you want to become a part of that, you can go to tyt.com/change and get information about membership and the different perks and stuff that come from that. So that's definitely something you can look at. And that said, why don't we talk a little bit sports? You want some sports talk, Francesca?
Yes.
Let's do this thing. Okay. Let's jump into this.
In today's episode of Fake News at the Olympic Games, the beds are meant to be anti-sex. They're made out of cardboard, yes, but apparently they're meant to break at any sudden movements. It's fake. Fake news.
Okay, so that athlete right there is, oh, I'm going to say Rice McClenna. I'm not sure about Irish names, difficult, but it's an Irish gymnast, I believe. And Francesca, that news had really spread over the weekend that the cardboard beds were designed so that if two consenting athletes tried to engage in amorous activities, it would collapse. And then what would you do? It's over. There's nothing you can do. That was what was going around. Turns out not the case. If someone can jump up and down on it, you're probably going to be okay with the sexual stuff.
Look at me and my abs, yeah? I'll have two chicks in here by noon. You'll see me, you'll watch, I'll do another video for you. It'll be great. I might not win first place, but I'll have a few bronze medals in here, I will. I'm sorry.
How do you have that accent? That's amazing. That said, I love his video because just saying it or like reading the news wouldn't actually sell it, but jumping up and down on the bed, that's kind of what we need as proof that those beds are durable.
Yeah, I mean, that's more durable than most beds. I mean, look.
I've collapsed beds that were not made of cardboard. So
many a man has tried to get many a woman back to their inflatable bed in their apartment that they share with three other people. So let's be real. I feel like F-boys in their 20s are going to start building cardboard box beds now as a solution.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, that was totally a Scottish accent, not an Irish accent, but it's still good. We still love it.
Whatevs.
Fun fact, I once had an inflatable mattress that had a slow leak. So I would go to bed on a nice inflated mattress and wake up just swimming in it. But anyway.
Did you ever try and bring anyone over on it?
Because
I don't know if we can be friends anymore if the answer is yes.
I will say that beds aren't the only furniture in a house. And that's really the issue with this news when it broke. So they don't want the athletes to have sex. So they make the beds cardboard. Okay, so first of all, some athletes weigh more than others. So how would that work? Some people in the chat are saying, okay, just because that like tiny fit Irish guy can jump up and down and it doesn't mean that like two American athletes wouldn't collapse it. But that said, what would that stop? They're athletes, they're strong, they have endurance, they're flexible, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Cardboard bed or not. So it never made much sense anyway. But anyway, why are they doing the cardboard bed? When I had heard about it, I thought, well, if that is just to stop them from having sex, that seems incredibly wasteful and like a lot of effort. That's not why. So they say that the beds will be turned into recycled paper after the games. They're promoting the use of recycled materials for procured items and construction materials at the games. In addition, the podiums, uniforms, and medals are all made from recycled materials. So that's why they have the cardboard beds, which makes a little bit more sense, even if it isn't as much fun.
Yeah, no, I liked when we, first of all, I thought you hated misinformation. You know, when I was making fun of Trump's fupa, you were like, you know, we really need to stop spreading misinformation about Trump's body, his disgusting, mangled McDonald's body. And then now when it comes to like Olympians having sex, you're like, nah, I prefer the other. Let's just go with the trying to prevent him from having sex. Yeah, let's go with the lie.
So now I want you, by the way, to just do the rest of the show in a Scottish accent, but I kind of want it to be a Scottish, but still Greta accent, combine the two. Anyway.
Now I can't do Irish. Oh, you tidy, that's a little higher. Oh, you're gonna have a lot of sexier, we will. No, it's still Scottish.
It's
sort of
going back and forth a little bit. So yeah, anyway, and obviously the context is COVID. That makes them want a little bit less getting it on between them. But that said, the Trubs continue. An American athlete has tested, is she American? Yeah. An American tennis star has tested positive for COVID. Right before the Olympics, is Coco Gauff posted a message saying, I'm so disappointed to share the news that I have tested positive for COVID and won't be able to play in the Olympic Games in Tokyo. It has always been a dream of mine to represent the USA at the Olympics, and I hope there will be many more chances for me to make this come true in the future. I want to wish Team USA best of luck in a safe games for every Olympian and the entire Olympic family. So that's obviously sad for that individual. And also, let me say something stupid. It's still tennis, though.
Yeah.
I feel like you could let her play. Like, they're playing tennis. Like, disinfect the ball every once in a while, but that seems safe to me. But anyway, they're trying to be safe, except that they are still going ahead with the Olympics, which is inherently not safe. But organizers have reported more than 24 positive coronavirus tests this weekend among people who've traveled to Japan for the event, including the first cases inside the athletes' village. On Sunday, they reported 2 athletes that tested positive. A third athlete tested positive while in quarantine. Other cases were reported outside the village this weekend involving officials, contractors, and members of the news media. So, a bit of a mess.
I mean, we shouldn't have done this, you know? Mm-hmm. We really shouldn't have done this. If anything, do it on Zoom. Everyone from their home, you know, everyone in their home turf, you get some cameras set up and we compete like that, you know? And then you get a little asterisk by your name. It's fine. But flying people internationally into Japan, which I believe has been pretty good about COVID cases. Why are we do? I love gymnastics as much as anyone else.
Maybe not as more much so. As me, but I want to see it. And more importantly, I don't want these athletes' careers. Like, you have a narrow window. That said, like, there's gonna be a must. Vaccinate people, Jesus. Okay, we're gonna have to do this as a two-parter, part now and then part after. But I want to start off with the first bit of this story. So let's launch into this. Right now in Topeka, we are more than 2 weeks into a large strike involving workers at a Frito-Lay factory. So this is a union-led strike of more than 600 workers who are saying that they are being overworked. And when they say that, they mean it. So they're saying they have forced overtime, 84-hour work weeks, brought on by a surge in demand produced by the pandemic. It's the dark side of the fact that we've all gained weight. That means that certain foods have become more needed and the demand has gone up. Well, they say they're working 7 days a week, up to 12 hours per shift, sometimes with just 8 hours between clocking in and clocking out, working double or triple shifts, which outside of like emergency room doctors, I didn't even know that was a thing. And they say that the union president says workers do not have enough time to see their family, do chores around the house, run errands, or even get a healthy night's sleep. And how would you? If you have less than 8 hours from clocking in to clocking out, you're supposed to have a life in the margins there. That's not possible.
Yeah. I just want to say this is very uncool ranch. Okay. That is what it is. Oh, I am not done with the puns. No, I am done with the puns. Look, this is clearly because, I mean, I am 99% sure that the workers of Frito-Lay do not have a union. This is why unions matter, is because no one should be worked like that ever. It is inhumane. It is obviously a violation. I know you're gonna get into an even more grim detail about this, but that is, No human being should work at that. I don't care. Not here, not abroad. Like, that's just not right.
Yeah. No, not at all. And like, obviously, you know, a lot of people are being overworked. That is not rare, particularly now. And you know, it's been great that journalists have been really picking up the story and talking about how common this sort of forced overtime and stuff like that has become more common during the pandemic. But this is beyond anything that can be acceptable. And I don't know exactly what the content of some of these jobs are like, but I imagine they're jobs that are perfectly exhausting at 40 hours per week. I would be willing to go on record and say, so working 84 and doing it week after week after week with no idea of when it's gonna end is just not acceptable. Yeah. So we will have more details for you.
They do have a union. My bad. They do have a union. No. I'm glad that they're actually organizing.
Yes, I don't believe it's the entire company, but this is union led at that factory. That is true. So we'll have more details for you in just a few. Unfortunately, we're running up against the end of the hour. So to our linear audience, we love you. Thank you for watching the show. We're gonna take a short break. We come back, we'll not only have more details on this strike, but also on a number of other stories that's coming up after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.